We're back once again with our dose of cannabis science and Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Mitch, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back.
All right. So we have talked so many times in the past about the subject of cannabis use and schizophrenia. And one of the things that we have heard many times from our opponents is this idea that there's a certain small subset of people who are have the possibility or the genetic predisposition to becoming schizophrenic. And if they were to use cannabis, there would be a terrible result. It would lead to a cannabis-induced psychosis. And so I'm really glad to have you on the show today to talk about this because of a new report that I saw out of Reuters Health regarding this so-called pot-induced psychosis. And maybe you could explain it to our listeners as to what this new research has found.
This is a great study, and it showed up in Archives of General Psychiatry, which is really the flagship journal of a lot of mental health researchers. And this is a group, a research group, that in the past has published a lot of stuff that made it look like marijuana actually increases the risk of psychosis. But what they've done is essentially follow up folks who had an initial psychotic reaction to cannabis and found that it looks like, based on their evidence, that in fact these people may have been at risk for psychosis beforehand based on the number of psychotic relatives they have, and that it probably wasn't the cannabis. It was probably a set of folks who were going to develop schizophrenia later on anyway, and that in some ways a psychotic reaction to cannabis may be an interesting marker for risk for schizophrenia, but it's not that cannabis is actually causing the disorder. How did they do this is kind of an intriguing question, but the bottom line is the folks who have a psychotic reaction to marijuana seem to have the same number of schizophrenic or schizotypal or just generally psychotic relatives as folks with the full-blown schizophrenia. And this seems consistent with the idea that, cannabis is not the cause, and just seemed to kind of buttress some of the arguments that we've made in previous work. So Nick Van Dom from my lab, who's been on the stash before, showed that some of these biased assessments about, say, schizotypal personality disorder or some of the psychotic symptoms seem to work against folks who have used cannabis. And now we see that, in fact, these are folks who probably would have developed a psychotic disorder anyway, and that this reaction is really just a hallmark, not a creation of any kind of mental illness.
Right. The smoking pot didn't cause the schizophrenia. The schizophrenic happened to be smoking pot, and that kind of showed up, I guess. Is that a way to say it?
Exactly. And see, for a while there was this subset of diagnostic criteria that were supposed to be marijuana-induced psychosis.
Yeah.
And people would show up at the hospital acting psychotic, and they happened to have used marijuana recently, and people thought, oh, well, there's this high-risk crew, and they're going to have the big psychotic break in reaction to this. But it looks like actually this is more a way to uncover schizophrenia rather than actually contribute to it. And, I mean, I'm going way out on a limb here, but in some sense, if folks have a really extreme, paranoid, outrageous reaction to cannabis the first time, well, of course they shouldn't use it again. It makes complete sense.
And would that possibly be something where if someone found they were with a group of friends and their friends are, you know, let's say regular marijuana users and they don't seem to have bad reactions, and maybe when they try it their first or second time, they feel they have a bad reaction. Do you think then that's something that should lead them to want to investigate whether there's any schizotypal disorders in their family history or seek further mental health evaluation?
I think that that's perfectly appropriate and nothing for anybody to, you know, feel like they're being alarmist about. In fact, if you've got, you know, a schizophrenic identical twin or, you know, one of your parents has a psychotic disorder, cannabis is probably not for you. And in fact, I wouldn't, you know, drink too much coffee. I'd take it easy on the Benadryl. Like, you really don't want to have too many psychoactive substances in your system if you're already a little bit prone to a lot of deviant experiences. Friends of mine who I love dearly, who are really creative, interesting, productive people, but who know that they're a little bit on the edge when it comes to having a lot of magical ideas and experiencing some crazy things, and so they stay away from extremes in any kind of habit, including watching their sleep, making sure they exercise regularly, not eating too much sugar and things like that, to really take care of themselves. There are other folks who, you know, really have wonderful reactions to cannabis, and we ought to make sure that they get the opportunity to have those.
Have there been any pushbacks from the mainstream medical community against this, these findings? Is anyone, have you heard yet anyone from, say, a drug czar's office or somebody trying to discredit what they're finding here?
Well, this just came out in the November 2008 issue, so there hasn't been a ton of scuttlebutt on it yet. yet, I can tell what they're going to attack, and it's that it's not a randomly assigned sort of thing. These people weren't randomly given cannabis, and so they're going to say, oh, maybe this wasn't actually the situation. But as we're learning more and more about the rates of psychosis and how they vary with rates of cannabis use, it really doesn't fit. So the countries that have heavy rates of cannabis use don't have higher rates of schizophrenia than countries that have very low rates of cannabis use. There are a whole lot of things that kind of take apart this idea that this is causal. Then the notion that there's maybe a subset of folks that are genetically at risk who then use heavily, and they're the ones who end up actually being the cannabis-induced psychotic disorders, also doesn't seem to fit in light of these data. It really does seem like these are folks who probably would have developed these symptoms anyway.
Yeah, I always make that joke about we didn't see a big rise in schizophrenia after the Summer of Love, even though the clothing and music may have sounded like it. So, but that's always good to know. And the other thing I note about this study, and you know, I've talked with Paul Armentano numerous times about this, is again a study coming out of Denmark, and there would be no way you could probably get this kind of research funded in the United States. Is that still the case?
Because this is longitudinal follow-up and they didn't actually administer the cannabis in this crew, we probably could get data like this gathered. But this is tough work to do. And in fact, the Scandinavians really have the jump on us in part because they have very complicated registries of everybody who's born there, a very nice socialized medicine system, so you pretty much can keep track of people well. And folks who live there tend to keep living there. For some reason, they really love it, and so they're easier to track than the transient peripatetic Americans who you try to, you know, follow them up for even 2 years in a study, and sometimes you're spending thousands of dollars just ringing up their wrong numbers.
Well, and it seems to me that, you know, they got a pretty large sample size here. There's something like over 600 people that were treated for the cannabis-induced psychosis, or so-called cannabis-induced psychosis, and then versus over 6,400 that had been treated for schizophrenia. I mean, that's a fairly large sample, isn't it?
Oh, this is a landmark study as far as that's concerned. I can only think of one other researcher with data, you know, this big on psychosis in general, and it's Sarnoff Mednick, who started gathering these data when before you were born and when I was a fetus.
Now, is this finally starting to sink in as far as the general medical community, this idea that, I mean, I know that for a long time they had these beliefs that pot was this amotivational thing, and that got debunked, and then somehow that pot was going to cause chromosomal damage, and that got debunked. Are we on the point now where anybody serious about the science here would just listen to any thought of cannabis being causing schizophrenia? Is that being a myth now? Can we say that's debunked?
I would say these data are pretty compellingly disputing that idea. I also find that clinicians I talk to and physicians who are out there in the field agree that they don't want their psychotic patients to use cannabis, and I could not agree more heartily, but they just kind of wink at me at the notion of it being causal. In fact, it's usually so obvious that these folks have some pretty severe genetic anomalies based on some other evidence in their family that the cannabis is the least of the issues. Unfortunately, the folks who still believe this are often the ones who are speaking the loudest, and that's unfortunately the ones who have the money to put advertisements in the newspaper about becoming a burrito taster.
Yeah.
So again, I don't think anyone's going to become psychotic simply because of pot, but if you got a schizophrenic in the family, by all means, keep your recreation to the non-substance related activities and everything will be fine.
Is there any sign that there's any attraction to cannabis by people who have these backgrounds with you know, schizophrenia in their history or background?
As odd as it sounds, and I used to live in a halfway house with 10 psychotics at a time in grad school, so I mean, I know more schizophrenics than most people meet in their lives. I have had psychotic individuals say that it's improved their focus or that it has helped them in some sense with their symptoms, but that's the kind of talk that's going to get me nailed to a cross on the cover of People magazine. I mean, you really cannot recommend this because there are some pretty compelling data from the 90s, Thornycroft in particular, suggesting that it tends to predict subsequent relapses really quickly. I think what's going on is people start to notice that their symptoms are returning, turn to cannabis first to try to get control of them, and then realize they have to go to the hospital. Other people assert that it's the cannabis that's actually causing this. Unfortunately, those are the kind of things that we're never going to be able to tease out in humans. Bill McClure at USC is working on a rat model of schizophrenia. And I'm eager to see how that all works out, and would love to see him get into the THC research with that.
Wow, what kind of therapy session does one have with a schizophrenic rat?
I can only imagine.
I'm just trying to imagine what the little survey is and how the rat fills it out. Anyway, Dr. Earlywine, this is all fascinating work on the schizophrenia front, and we'll keep an eye on it until it's finally and thoroughly explained. Thanks again for joining us here for our Cannabis Science segment.
Looking forward to talking to you again.